Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And that ugly episode in NFL history back in the news this week because of Myles Garrett's reinstatement and his candid heart-to-heart interview with Amina Kimes of ESPN's Outside the Lines this week, which has been the tipping point for a possible defamation suit, a possible slander suit. It's also caused Steelers players of all races to come out of the woodwork and defend Mason Rudolph, who you heard at the tail end of that clip. My name's Andrew Filippone. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you from our CBS Sports Radio studios in Pittsburgh. So I am right in the middle of this. I'm in the cyclone. I've lived this. I talk once a day. I'm in afternoons five times a week to a Pittsburgh audience. And so I think this gives me a little bit more backstory on this discussion. You might also say it gives me a bias and an easy subjectivity to this. You know, I'll also, full disclosure, let everybody know at the start of this conversation, because I feel like whenever we get into race, a very touchy topic, it's important. Not that I feel like these conversations ever solve racial issues. Awareness is good. I never feel like I come out of these sports talk conversations, though, having you know, solved the world's problems or America's issues on this. But I'll just let everybody know that I'm white, because I feel like what you identify as, your background, your history, is prologue to what you're going to say on a hot button story like this. And I'm going to be as respectful as I can to everybody, but I'm going to be honest too. I'm not going to sugarcoat things here. And if you want to participate in the conversation, you can. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, at CBS Sports Radio. I'm at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. I'm fortunate that CBS Sports Radio gives me this chance every Sunday to have really whatever conversation I want to have with you. I don't get told to take position X or to talk about topic Y. They trust me to have responsible, entertaining dialogue with you once a week. And so I'm going to attempt to do that here. And I thank all the affiliates that are picking up this part of the show, whether it's a local AM/FM channel, Sirius XM channel 206, the radio.com app where we stream for free. Last hour, we talked a lot about Rob Manfred's comments this morning, saying that Major League Baseball's punishment of the Astros was good enough, that the punishment and the crime, it fit. And you can go to radio.com, rewind back to 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, if you want to listen back to that conversation later in the day. But I want to give you some facts here on the Myles Garrett thing and let you make up your own mind on what really happened. I think it's interesting that you have high-profile professional athletes, and in one case, a high-profile NFL head coach, a Super Bowl-winning coach. And whenever racial tension or bigotry or racial issues get presented, I wonder, from the outside looking in, what these people, how they're going to identify or how they're going to present themselves. What force, what pull is stronger? Is it their employer? Is it the team they play for? Are they going to side with a teammate in this case? Or are they going to side with race? Mike Tomlin is an African-American coach. Myles Garrett is an African-American player. In this situation, before he reviewed all the facts, was his natural inclination, his gut instinct, to side with his quarterback, Mason Rudolph, who's white, or his opponent, Myles Garrett, who's black? I'm sure it, and I know this because I work in Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin has faced some racial prejudice here, some bigotry, some racism. I'm sure just about any African-American professional athlete at some level, they've been called the N-word by a fan, by somebody, and I can't speak to. I don't know how that makes them feel. I don't know how that makes them emote. I don't know how that affects them, how they channel those feelings, how they react to those words. I think it's interesting in this case that both in the immediate aftermath of this situation and the following months that have followed, there have been people on both sides, Steelers and Browns, who have had ample opportunity to corroborate. Somebody has had anybody has had the form or the opportunity to come up and stick up for Myles Garrett and say, it happened. I heard it. Or at the very least, I saw the way Myles Garrett reacted and I believe him. And no one has done that. No one has done that. In fact, Myles Garrett himself, right after the game, he gave a no comment. He didn't answer a question about if he was called a racial slur or not. The following day, he apologized to Mason Rudolph. Now, I don't know. Again, I'm white. If somebody called me that word and it triggered a violent reaction, but it was a hateful word, it's the worst word in the English language, they called me a stupid N-word, am I going to apologize to that person the next day? I can't put myself in African-American shoes. But if I was called that and it caused me to flip out, you tell me if that's the logical next move, that you would apologize to that person for calling you that word. If Rudolph did it, it would not give Myles Garrett a license to do whatever he wanted. It wouldn't even give him an excuse, but it would give him a good reason to have lost his cool, to have lost his composure. Garrett didn't act like that after the game, and then when cooler heads prevailed, he apologized the next day. Browns players, you know, I've read reports where they have said Garrett was called this word. None of them will come out and say it on the record in front of a microphone. We've got all these baseball players, you know, to make a comparison, who will come out and say the Astros are cheaters. They'll say it with a camera in their face with the microphone on. Myles Garrett probably has brotherhoods and bonds and deep relationships and friendships within that locker room, and I don't know why no one will come out and stick up for him. Not one person. No Baker Mayfield, no Odell Beckham Jr., no Jarvis Landry, none of his defensive teammates, none of them. And then you flip it to the Steelers, you have black players who are sticking up for Mason Rudolph. You have a black coach, Mike Tomlin. You have Ramon Foster, an offensive lineman, African-American, was on the field when it happened. He thinks the charge is bogus. The allegation is bogus. Zach Banner, a Steelers offensive lineman who used to play for the Browns and knows both teams, thinks the allegation is without any credibility. He thinks that microphones and cameras, and we'd have access, and there would be a smoking gun or Exhibit A that would show that Rudolph said it. Rudolph has denied it to the point where his lawyers are willing to jump in and prove his innocence. So who actually believes Myles Garrett? He's doing a dangerous thing here, right? He's playing the race card. He's accusing somebody of hate speech, of using, you know, in my opinion, the worst word, the most vile word in the English language. He doesn't have any proof other than the way he reacted on the field, and he has no witness backing him up. So this is what I don't get, and maybe you can help me, maybe you can enlighten me here this morning, 855-212-4227, Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. Why did the NFL let Garrett off the hook? This is what I'm confused about. When they suspended him indefinitely, they said, if the Browns make the playoffs, you're not going to play. So they were willing, and Cleveland at that point in the season could have gotten hot. They beat the Steelers. They were back in the wild card race. If they get hot and make the playoffs, Myles Garrett would have sat and watched. I think playoff games are more meaningful, don't you, than regular season games? So the NFL was willing to, or was open to, suspending Garrett beyond six games and banning him from games that are more important than regular season games. If they thought his offense merited a regular season plus postseason ban, why is the ban stopping at six games? Why is the Garrett suspension only six games? Why isn't it more? Is he getting off on good behavior? Did the NFL think in his appeal he said something that they wanted to investigate and look over, and when they met with him again this offseason, they were persuaded by that argument and let him off? Do they just want this to go away? I'm inclined to believe that if the suspension carries into next season, it's still a major story. And believe me, it will be when the Steelers play the Browns, and it will be the first time Garrett steps foot on the field in week one, but that'll get overshadowed by, who knows, Tom Brady on a new team. I mean, there's a lot of things in week one that happen that would make Garrett's return not the number one story, not take all the headlines. And I think the NFL is more concerned with appearances than doing the right thing. I mean, this is a dangerous game. If Myles Garrett is making this, doubling down on this allegation and making it again, and he has no proof, that in and of itself, I think, demands or requires the NFL to take action. The NFL needs to take racial slurs seriously. The majority of players are black. But I also think when somebody makes up or fabricates and accuses a player, attacks their character, and says, he called me this word, and there's no proof, there should also be a consequence and a punishment that comes with that. So I think Garrett got off easy. I think six games isn't enough for swinging a helmet at somebody's head, taking off their helmet and trying to hit them with it. I had never really seen that before. I think six games is light. Garrett's a nice person, supposedly. I don't know why that matters. I want to know if people actually believe him. And if you believe Myles Garrett, that Mason Rudolph called Myles Garrett this awful, vile word, why didn't he say it right after it happened? Why didn't he tell reporters right after it happened? Why did he apologize to Rudolph the next day? Why aren't any of his teammates sticking up for him? Why are they silent? And I think their silence speaks volumes. Steelers players are sticking up for Mason Rudolph. So is Mike Tomlin. And they are crossing racial lines to do so. Why aren't people doing the same thing for Garrett? I think it's because he's making it up. And I don't say that lightly. What do you think? Love to hear from you on this topic. I know it's a touchy one, but that doesn't mean I value your opinion any less. I'd love to hear it today, actually. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. What if Myles Garrett lied and Mason Rudolph didn't call him a racial slur? Then what should happen to Myles Garrett? Should he face more punishment? Should there be another suspension? 855-212-4227. And if you think it did happen, tell me why. Because the facts I have in front of me tell me it didn't happen. The NFL couldn't find any audio of it. None of Garrett's players are backing him up on it. 855-212-4227. My name's Andrew Filippone. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Andrew Filippone.
From the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, you got millions of Americans who have financed the home of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks for either waking up with me or taking me along on your ride wherever you're headed on this Sunday morning, February 16th, 2020. I'm Andrew Filippone. This is CBS Sports Radio, Sirius XM Channel 206, the radio.com app, where you can listen to us worldwide, wherever you are, your iPhone, Android, tablet, doesn't matter. You can stream us as long as you got a Wi-Fi internet connection. You can listen wherever you want. Talking about Myles Garrett and his reinstatement, which I disagree with it. I don't think he should be allowed to play in week one. If I'm the NFL, I would need to turn over every stone on this racial slur allegation against Mason Rudolph. Because if it's true, Rudolph deserves more than a fine for that kind of language. And if it's false, well, then Rudolph is willing to play that card. The nuclear option card. To get himself reinstated. And that kind of rationale, that kind of excuse, if he's making it up, I would want the indefinite suspension to stand and then some. Where is the proof that Rudolph used this word? Rudolph is so sure he didn't, he's willing, his lawyer is threatening legal action. The NFL says it doesn't have audio. None of Garrett's Browns teammates are sticking up for him. Mike Tomlin defends Mason Rudolph. Now, I know Freddie Kitchens is working for the Giants now, but he's still free. There's nothing in his contract that says that there's like a gag order on sticking up for his former player here. Does anyone actually believe Myles Garrett? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Tell me why. And if you don't, what should the league do about it? That number sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. Here is Robert in South Carolina. Robert's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man.
To preface my statement, I'm going to say I'm a black man. I consider myself to be racially conscious, not only contemporaneously, but historically. I don't believe Myles Garrett's statement that he was called a racial slur by Mason Rudolph. I disagree with his rationale to use that as a way to legitimize his actions. Instead of just being accountable, and how he reacted, just be accountable, be responsible, and take, whatever punishment, the NFL saw fit to mete out. But to try and mitigate his actions by saying that he was called a racial slur, I disagree with. And one thing, there's never going to be any evidence. If there's no audio, it's going to be Myles Garrett's word against Mason Rudolph's word. So there's no, and I'm quite sure that Myles Garrett knows this by interjecting this as his reason for what caused him to do what he did. And one thing I like to point out, I watched the interview he had with the reporter the other day, mm-hmm. and the sequence that he laid out saying that when he made contact, I guess as he was getting ready to tackle Mason Garrett, that's when Mason Rudolph made the statement. Now I would give him the benefit of the doubt if he would have said once they hit the ground that Mason Rudolph would have made that statement. But right as the sequence that he gave, also just the whole nature of what he's saying just doesn't.
And Robert, I've talked to Steelers players who have told me, and this is not off the record, we could pull up the audio, it's in the public conversation. I've talked to Steelers players who have said, if in that moment, if Garrett expressed to them, I am flipping out, I am losing my mind because he just said this word to me, that the team bond in that moment would have gone away. They would have sided with Garrett over their own teammate, Mason Rudolph. Because those loyalties run deeper than the city you play for and the team that signs your paycheck. And thanks for calling and being honest with me. And I appreciate that. I really do. I think what you do here, if this is fabricated, if this is made up, I think Myles Garrett is undermining real racism that might exist in the NFL. Or real racial ignorance that might exist within the NFL. Like, there's, based on the number of NFL head coaches right now, there's a belief that there is racial ignorance when it comes to African Americans getting an opportunity to coach in the NFL. And the facts support that. They back it up. Where are the facts to support Myles Garrett's claim? Where are the witnesses? Where are the teammates? Where are the players who are willing to step forward and say, as soon as Garrett came to the sideline, he told me what happened. The Browns players who were on the field, who talked to Garrett right then and there. Because right now, everybody is lining up to stick up for Mason Rudolph. And not just white players, black players and a black head coach. Do you actually believe Myles Garrett? And if you don't, if you think he's making this allegation up, if you think he's lying, does he deserve to be reinstated? I don't think so, but what do you say? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can tweet me, follow me there. Follow us at CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Andrew Filippone.
Radio.com. You should get it today as a belated Valentine's Day gift for your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend. So they can listen to CBS Sports Radio wherever they are. It's free to download. More ways to listen than just the old school FM AM radio in your car, your vehicle. And for those of you who are listening that way, get with the program. Move into the 21st century and download it today, radio.com. And thank me later for it. Myles Garrett cleared to play. He's still trying to absolve himself, telling ESPN that Mason Rudolph called him a stupid N-word. And that's one of the reasons why he swung his helmet at Rudolph, or swung Rudolph's helmet at Rudolph. NFL couldn't find any evidence to substantiate Garrett's claim. No audio. Garrett apologized to Rudolph the next day. Less than 24 hours after the incident, less than 24 hours after Rudolph allegedly called him a stupid N-word, Garrett told Rudolph, quote, "I'm sorry." Rudolph's lawyers now say that Garrett is doing this to, quote, coax sympathy. No one has vouched for Garrett. Not on the record, not by name. Why? Because it's untrue? What do you think? You actually believe Myles Garrett? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. And if you don't, what should happen to him? Still reinstated? Assassinates another man's character, calls him a racist? And life moves on? 855-212-4227. My name's Andrew Filippone. It's the Pony Express. Here is Jim in South Carolina. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Andrew. Thank you for taking my call.
Anytime.
Yeah, I'm going to lean on the side with you here. I don't believe Myles Garrett's story one bit, just for the simple fact of something you pointed out earlier. Before I go any further, I want to preface it with this. I am living in South Carolina, which I guess most of the nation thinks the South is very racist, which, you know, I think there's racism all across this country. With that being said, I am married to a black woman, which we have a child together. So, therefore, I am not a big fan of the N-word whatsoever, because it is used for derogatory statement towards black and African-American people. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you are very much being derogatory towards the woman that I love and my child. With that being said, I personally have experienced being accused of using this as an employer when I fired an individual that worked for me. With that being said, Myles Garrett, had this been said to him, instead of in the post-game show, him saying no comment, whatever, whatever, and then the next day coming out and apologizing, and then much later coming out and saying, yeah, well, he used the N-word. He called me the N-word. That doesn't pass the smell test. Just given reactions of, you know, general public, when there has been something racially motivated, and the person has felt that way, whether the N-word was used or not, that is brought to the forefront almost immediately. That they, you know, they felt that they were racially profiled, or there was something racially motivated behind it by something.
So what do you think should happen to Garrett now, Jim? Should there be any consequences if it's a baseless accusation?
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly, and I was going to get to that point. Thank you for rushing me to it, too, because I can get long-winded. With that being said, let's reverse the roles here. Let's say that he did say this, and it came out publicly, and they had proof that he did say this. What do you think would happen to him?
That would
I think Mason. I think Mason Rudolph would basically be excommunicated and blacklisted from the NFL. He'd get suspended first.
I agree,
and I don't think he'd play another game in the NFL.
I don't think he would either. I agree with you wholeheartedly. So therefore, if Mason, if Myles Garrett is fabricating this story, which you know I believe he is, I think there should be more punishment for him. Should it? Because I mean, there's enough racial tension and stuff that's going on in this world today. Without fabricating stuff to make it
exactly.
go even deeper and even further. So with that being said, yeah, there should be some repercussions. And I think you said earlier a 6-game suspension or suspended the first game of the season. I think he should be suspended an entire season to give some of these other players and just people in general the thought process that, hey, you know, my repercussions behind making up a story about something being racially motivated could cause me greater depth than just, you know,
right.
me saying but somebody found out I told a lie. So yeah,
thank you, Jim. Thank you. I'm gonna let you run. Thank you. I don't think 6 games is enough either. I mean, number one, it was fate. It was an act of God that the way the helmet twisted in midair did not cause the crown of it to land on Rudolph. If that happens, he's down in a heap. And his career would be in jeopardy. His normal life would be in jeopardy. So in that way, Rudolph got lucky. And I think the NFL looks at this as such a polarizing issue. They don't want to touch it. 6 games, entire offseason goes by. Garrett will go on the field. This story won't get completely forgotten. But there are so many other things that will happen in the NFL between now and the start of next year that there's not going to be an outcry. It's not going to be something that – it's not going to be an Astros-level scandal that ends up taking over the sport. I mean, that's what the NFL's hoping for. Yeah, what Garrett's doing is wrong, but he's already been disciplined. Let's not discipline him again. If Rudolph wants to take him to court, so be it. Maybe they'll settle or something. And then it'll be out of sight, out of mind. That's what the NFL wants. Here's Bill in Phoenix on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, Andrew?
Hey, man.
Hey, just having bratwurst for breakfast in Phoenix.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah,
what a way to bring in a Sunday.
Oh, yeah, and it's like, you know, 67 degrees out here. It's beautiful. I love my city, just like you love your city, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, man.
You are a Pittsburgh homer.
Hmm.
You fail to realize that Mason Rudolph brought all of this onto himself.
Okay.
He tried to rip Myles Garrett's helmet off first. People fail to realize that Mason Rudolph started this fight, Myles Garrett finished it. People don't like the way Myles Garrett finished it. I don't like the way Myles Garrett finished it. But I'll tell you what, every fight I've been into, my father came to me afterwards and said, did it finish the way you wanted to? And every time I said no, because I was hurt. And you know what? People fail to realize that Mason Rudolph was just as much an instigator in this as Myles Garrett.
How does that pertain to the racial component of it?
I don't care. We're never going to know. It's going to be a he said till the end of time. We're never going to know. Okay, but I think it speaks volumes that the NFL failed or did not take away the fine from Mason Rudolph after that fight.
They never took away his fine. Okay, but if they thought that Rudolph was equally culpable, why didn't they fine Rudolph 6 games, too?
he didn't do anything that was worth getting a game fine for.
Okay, but I think you just said to start the conversation that we need to remember that Rudolph started it. And so if the person who started it only gets a slap on the wrist, by your logic, if Rudolph doesn't start it, the fight never happens, right? I mean,
No, I mean, it's one thing to start a fight. I mean, you know, how many times do we see guys slap each other upside the head, you know, in NFL games?
Right.
Okay, and nothing ever comes of it except maybe a flag. I think you are a Pittsburgh homer, and you're just an anti-Cleveland guy, and okay. you're going after our people, and you know what? I'm sorry.
So you think if this was the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks, I would blame Rudolph, or I would at least be more sympathetic towards Garrett? What do I need to know about Myles Garrett that I'm not seeing here? What am I missing?
To be honest with you, I don't know enough about the guy.
Okay, well, thank you. I mean, we'll just end the conversation there then, because I'm trying to give you a chance. If you think that commentating on this through a black and gold microphone, well, then explain to me how I'm doing that. Give me a reason why I'm coming off as biased. That's it. And if just like with Garrett, somebody. Have one of your teammates come out and say, I believe him. 52 other players were in Brown's gear. Coaches. All kinds of people within the organization. No one is saying, I believe him. Why? Why isn't anyone else within the Browns organization saying, yep, Rudolph said it? That silence speaks volumes. Whether you're living in Pittsburgh or Cleveland, you should acknowledge that. All right, coming up next hour, the XFL, stock up, stock down. It's the Pony Express, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.